Welcome to Just Around the Corner. This is a podcast that explores the lives of interesting people, examining the moments in their lives that encouraged and challenged them. And as a result, may their stories challenge and encourage your life for what's just around the corner for you. My guest today is Mr. Aaron Maben, a leader in the international security tech field, a former Green Beret, a husband, and a father. He's a close friend of mine with a remarkable history that may just challenge you and encourage you, regardless of whether you've ever served a day in the service or dealt with international security aspects of technology. His message is a message of hope and accomplishment for all of us. Today's episode is entitled, Moving Forward When You Think You Can't. As a business coach, podcaster, and author, I invite you to subscribe to my newsletter by clicking on my website at dennismansfield.com and hit the yellow button at the bottom of the landing page. I think you'll like it. I'm Dennis Mansfield.
Thank you for joining Just Around the Corner with Dennis Mansfield. As John Hay, one of the most famous men of the 19th century, once said, all the great prizes in life are just around the corner. Let's go there together.
You know, it's a rare opportunity on this podcast where I can tell you that the guest that I am interviewing on a particular episode is someone that I've known for years and years and years. That does happen, and we've had a number of those, but not to the level of our guest today. Today, I'm honored to have Aaron Maben with me. We're going to do two episodes on Just Around the Corner with Dennis Mansfield. And Aaron, that is a lofty introduction, but it's true.
Yeah.
You and I have known each other in many different phases of your life. It's come and gone. You've moved away. You've come back. You've gone overseas. You've jumped out of airplanes. You've done some amazing things. And I would like us to start off with just, what do you do for a living right now?
So right now, I am currently in information security. My title is Business Information Security Officer. It's been a very interesting journey in my current career. We experienced a acquisition by a Swedish company of local Boise company, or at least the company that was founded in Boise. So I work for a company called Cradlepoint.
Okay.
We started out as a cellular networking business where we would create networking devices that could connect to a cellular network as an internet source.
So all the geeks that are listening to this,
right?
Yeah, hey, we get it.
I'm giving the low level, you know, connect to cellular as an internet source. That's about as high as, you know, as I can go with that.
But for those that are even a little bit lower than that, what does that mean in terms of security? What do you do?
So right now, my focus is ensuring that the security requirements that we establish within the business get adopted and enforced within the organization.
Okay.
My current focus is more on the security operations side, which would include security monitoring of our systems and services, as well as any responding to any incidents that may be detected in within those systems.
Now, your background in security comes from military.
It does, actually. So,
well, walk us through that, because on the second episode, we're going to drill down on that for those that do have a military background and would like to know about something called Special Forces or the Green Berets.
Right.
That's where you started. Well, then, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so when we're looking at how I came to work at Cradlepoint, my first day at Cradlepoint was actually my last day of active duty military service.
Oh, my heavens. That's quite a connection.
Yeah, it actually worked out quite well. Very blessed in that transition. And so we had seen on the special operations teams the use of devices that could have multiple different types of internet sources and could automatically fail over between those different internet type sources. There's this acronym used in first responder and military circles called a PACE plan. Mm-hmm. And it's used for establishing failovers for your communications. And so P stands for primary, A stands for alternate, C stands for contingency, and E stands for emergency. Mm. And so what I really appreciated about these devices is that they kind of had a self-contained PACE plan because I could connect to cellular, I connect to multiple different types of internet sources or radio sources, including like satellite communications. And then I could have, based on movement, the changes dynamically between those internet sources as necessary.
So when you think about your days pre-military that led up, you were as far away from security events and considerations as any of the rest of us who are not involved in the security field. Give the folks that are watching and listening kind of an overview of how you grew up, what your dad did, and then how it moved into the start of your adulthood and your pre-military life.
Okay, wow. So growing up, I grew up in Boise, Idaho, and my dad was a photographer. So he had all these different assignments that took him all around the state. He even got to have a stint over in Washington, D.C., for the USA Today. During those times, my dad still is a big history buff and mm-hmm. a big movie buff. So my activities with my dad were typically around watching movies. Mm-hmm. I got really connected with the Pierce Brosnan, James Bond.
How movies, could you not?
GoldenEye, and then with GoldenEye for N64, just continued to reiterate it. Uh-huh. And so it was just like, that was some of my formidable memories uh-huh. as a child of watching those movies, thinking James Bond is the coolest. I wish I could be like James Bond.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's where some of these desires were planted in my heart for serving in the military, especially in the special operations community. But I also had some fixed mindset and some negative mindsets that kept me from pursuing those.
Explain that, because something equipped you for it, but something also damaged you for it. Let's go to the damage part. What damaged you from moving ahead to what might be a goal in your life that involved those early years of, hey, I could do that. I could be involved in special ops. I could go in the service.
I wouldn't say that it was a damage, mm-hmm. but more a issue of priority.
Okay.
And so for my family and what my dad and mother raised us with was, you know, family comes first. Your friends will come and go, but you'll always have family. Family comes first. And therefore, there was this idea or this mindset that I couldn't serve and make my family a mm-hmm. priority. And so even though I had these desires and I would find myself looking at, you know, the National Guard website, even from just doing the 2 weeks a year and 1 weekend a month, just kind of found myself, I can't do it, or I'm restricted from doing it because I need to be a family man.
Mm. But then you became a family man.
I did.
How did that work?
So I dated and married my high school sweetheart, and we went to college together, and around the time that we graduated, my parents' business, my dad actually stepped away from just photography, or actually brought in additional graphic design, web design, and advertising capabilities for his business that he started. But that business, going into the 2008 recession, was struggling. He had a general manager that had mismanaged it and taken on a lot of debt at a time when debt was going to be
was going to be crippling for the whole country.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so my wife at the time and I moved up trying to rescue the business. And in fact, that's where we got really connected, because when we removed this general manager, you were the one who coached my wife and I through the removal of this individual from the organization. Yeah. And so that was really kind of one of those first engagements. And then you continued to coach us mm-hmm. as we tried to rescue this business. Ultimately, the debt was insurmountable. And with the recession, typically marketing budgets are quickly cut. So it's difficult to maintain a pace of business that was going to service those debts.
It was, from my perspective as a business coach, I labored with you seeing what most probably would be the outcome. But you know, hope springs eternal. It really does. And we moved forward. What we didn't understand at that point was that you and I were becoming closer and closer as friends.
Yep.
So that whatever the outcome, the next outcome would be better. But something tragically happened in your relationship with your wife.
Yes. So as we went through this process of closing a business, we started to identify that we had different desires for where we wanted our lives to go. And as we were going through bouts of unemployment, trying to create a cupcake business, getting our finances in order, we moved in with a friend and rented a room from them, and they ended up developing romantic feelings for each other. And so we went through a separation, and at that time I was unemployed, living in different friends' houses or friends of parents' houses, living out of a suitcase.
How old were you? Really, how trying old to figure out this what, time?
So I was 23 at the time.
Mm-hmm. And I remember being with you, because I continued to coach you and I continued to be your friend.
Absolutely.
And I saw the capacity that you have and that you had at that time, even though it was breaking but not broken.
Yeah.
And you came up with an idea. And I'll never forget sitting across the table from you when you said, "I'm thinking about this." That this was the military.
Yes.
For those that are watching and listening, it's not unusual for people to come to the military and say, okay, maybe this will launch me in a new area. So they join the Air Force or the Coast Guard, or they join any number. But I remember distinctly you saying, I want to become a Green Beret. I want to go SF, Special Forces. And I remember thinking, okay, from my experience in the military, a lot of people want that, but not a lot of people get that.
Mm-hmm.
But I believed in you, and you believed in yourself. Walk us through that thinking that led you to going into the Green Berets.
So I had this time where I was unemployed. I was still networking with the same group of people as my wife that I was separated from. And one of them was a IT consultant, but he was also a former sniper instructor in the Marines. And I remember having a conversation with the group saying, you know, I have this desire that I want to go into special operations. I want to serve in the military. I want to serve my country, do something bigger than myself, contribute to something bigger than myself. And I want to do it in special operations. But I just don't think I have what it takes, or I'm not, you know, I didn't play football or do any sports in high school. I was not very active. And I put that out there. And this individual looks to me and says, "What do you mean?" And it was like a turning point in a, almost like a light switch of like, okay, he's not accepting that as an answer. And I started to have to question myself, why do I think I don't have what it takes?
Mm.
And he invited me over to work out at his garage gym in the mornings. And we started a friendship that helped me lead into the military, much like my friendship with you led me into the military. I started really focusing on my fitness and set that goal of, well, I need to be mentally and physically resilient in order to make it into special operations, let alone continue to operate.
Were you divorced at that, or just separated?
Separated at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wouldn't be until January of 2009 that divorce would be finalized. And I actually really appreciated what your mentorship meant during that time, because not only was I working through unemployment and soul searching myself, I also recognized where my faith was at that point, where I was serving myself, even though I claimed Christ as my savior.
Mm-hmm.
and recognizing that, okay, I did all these things that I think are the right thing, but then it all fell apart. And I found myself questioning, okay, Lord, where are you at in this? And that's when I started to feel those desires in my heart to serve, and that I felt freed to go and pursue the desire that he had placed there. But it wouldn't come with just him being my savior. He would have to be my Lord. And you helped me through that, especially with this divorce aspect where you said, hey, marriage, we said, till death do us apart. Everything has to be in their court. You are not going to do anything to separate or damage or end your marriage. And you need to work and pursue at making it work, because that's what we're called to do.
You were faithful to the end.
Yes. Yes.
And I saw it. I was an eyewitness to it.
Yep.
The end did come.
It did come.
And then we're going to use the second episode to talk about your time in the Green Beret as a member of the Special Forces. But there were turning points, little turning points throughout this entire time. What was the turning point that gave you hope? Your marriage is behind you. Your future is in front of you. Your faith in God as both Savior and Lord is a part of you. And you changed your vector and you moved. And when you moved, what was that pivot point for you?
The pivot point really was you and I sitting across from each other in a coffee shop and you asking me if I wanted to accept Jesus as the Lord of my life. And I remember the date because it was October 15th of 2009, and it's actually a part of my testimony because it was when I finally realized that you can't be a true Christian without giving your whole heart to Jesus. And that means giving up your will and your desires in your life. But the beautiful aspect of it is that God actually has better plans for you. Mm-hmm. And wow, did I get to experience that.
You know, to the person that's listening or watching this episode, who they themselves have read the Bible, they would consider themselves a good person. They they maybe go to church one, two, three times a month, or maybe a quarter, or maybe even a year, but they believe in God. What is the distinctive difference of Lord of their life, Lord of your life, Lord of my life, versus just being saved and acknowledging that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, went to heaven, awaits us upon our demise? What's the difference?
Man, that is a loaded question. I would say the difference is, and this is going to sound weird, but it's death to self. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that as a physical death, but a willingness to lay down your life for the needs of another. And so when it comes down to it, it's an active choice. You have full control over your choices. That's what God has given us within the free will, which I love to share with my kids is, why do bad things happen to good people?
Yes.
Is this aspect of love, which requires choice. And therefore, you can choose to do good or you can choose to do bad.
And receive either the benefits or the detriments of what those choices are.
Of what those choices are, exactly. And so that's where death to self and putting others ahead of yourself really is the focus. It's not about me, although a lot of times I stumble and I fail and make things about me all the time. It's a continual growth process, and anyone that is going through this will know that this is a continual growth process, but it's something that's so worth enjoying and experiencing.
So what most surprised you about that change, that pivot point for you? And were you still couch surfing? Where were you at in your life? what sprang you up like Forrest Gump, who said, I think I'll start running. And then you ran across the world.
Yeah. You know, it was just that commitment to knowing what my goal was. And it wasn't about, I'm going to go and do that. but rather I'm going to go and show them what I have. And if it's not good enough, that's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to prepare myself as much as possible. So I went through a period of a year and a half working with my friend where we were doing workouts in the mornings. I got connected with other individuals that were interested in fitness. Another guy that was a medic in the Army, him and I would go rucking together. One of my small group's friends' brothers was a triathlete, and so I did a triathlon with him. So it was just knowing that I wanted to prepare myself the best I could to try to achieve a goal that really helped me stay on track and remain committed to that.
So let's talk about it. What three habits or skills helped you through that time period to move you in the direction that you started going? And then what specific takeaways did you learn from those habits or skills?
Yeah, so when we're looking at the habits and skills that came from it, first off, having that goal and that goal aligned with your spiritual father in that sense. It was a desire that was planted within me, so it helped establish where I was going. It was a passion, a desire that I wanted to have. And so as having a goal or something to shoot towards was definitely a big part of that. The other aspect was consistency. Even if I didn't feel like it, I needed to get up in the mornings and do my workouts, right? I had to make sure that I was putting in the time and the effort and the energy, because nothing good comes without hard work. Mm-hmm. And so just remaining consistent. And then one of those other aspects, and I didn't realize what it was at the time, but I now can put words to it, is this idea of a growth mindset. And that is a willingness to learn, a willingness to try, a acceptance of failure, and being okay with the outcomes. Basically, benevolent detachment from the outcomes and saying, I'm going to do this regardless of what comes, come what may.
Yeah.
So that growth mindset saying, I can't do it, or I only have a fixed amount of skills, or I can't be the best. These ideas that where you're comparing yourself with other people can really limit you in your own potential.
And limit you in your certainly potential is today, but limit you in your potential for tomorrow.
Yep.
You had this change. You were single. You were choosing to go in this direction of the military, which we will have an enjoyable time in episode two talking about what does that mean.
Mm-hmm.
But your life took on a different bent when you took on a new wife and two new children that you received through adoption by marriage. What was that like for you? And give hope to the person who's out there right now.
That was a journey.
Yeah, tell us about it.
You know, it was interesting because even though I had committed to making Jesus my Lord, there was still transformation that had to occur in my life and in my heart. So I was still chasing after women. I was still, you know, thinking, okay, I can go into the military and I don't need to have any commitments or attachments going into the military. I've been freed from that perception of, you know, I need to be a single man in order to serve in the military, or at least go into it. And so then I had as I was out one night, met a young woman that was not part of her friend group, was kind of outside, you know, so wanted to engage there quickly and easily and say, hey, would you like to play some pool? And she said, no.
Oh, that's the quick turn down.
Right, exactly. But her friend overheard and said, I'll play with you. And then naturally she wanted to join as well. We ended up hanging out and I walked her to her car and said, hey.
Not the friend, but initial girl.
The initial girl and said, you know, this was fun. Would you like to go out sometime? And she said, well, I'm kind of in this on-again, off-again relationship, so I don't think it'd be fair to you or this other guy. I said, well, here, how about this? How about I give you my phone number, and if things don't work out, I make an excellent rebound.
Oh, my heavens. What a sales tool.
It worked. Because I was up snowboarding a few weeks later, and I got a text message from her.
What did she say in the text message?
She said, how about that date?
She didn't say, let's go play basketball. I hear you're a good rebounder.
Yeah, right, right, exactly. But that sparked a journey where we developed a relationship, a dating relationship. And as we, you know, basically reveal ourselves to one another through courtship, mm-hmm. you know, I was still basically unemployed. Mm-hmm. Living at my friend's parents' house.
I've got a nice van down by
right.
the river.
Not exactly manly material, right? What you're looking for in a boyfriend.
Your future awaits.
And then as we, you know, reveal those things about ourselves, she revealed that she had just recently gone through a divorce and that she has two young boys. Mm. They were 1 and 4 when I came into their lives. And so we started dating and... For me, it was one of those boneheaded moments where I was like, okay, yeah, I'll be a good influence for your boys, but then I'm going to the military and see ya. Boneheaded moment, right? And God was there and he went, nope, that's not how this works. And so
a sweet slap.
Oh, it was very sweet because I didn't realize that they were supposed to be a part of this adventure. And so when I went to talk to recruiters and to look into my options within the military and special operations, basically God closed the door. Mm. I was rejected for a couple of my different applications, and it wasn't until I realized that I had to commit and man up and commit to my girlfriend and her two young boys and set that example of what biblical fatherhood looks like, that then doors began to open up. And so my wife and I were married in 2011. And then 2 weeks later, I went into basic training.
Mm-hmm. 2011, your marriage was a wonderful event.
Yes, it was.
You would know. I not only attended, but I officiated. And I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that one of the things that most magnifies the beauty of a godly marriage is when the person who officiates knows clearly the bride and the groom.
Yeah.
And to have done it, it still is one of the most remarkable weddings that I've had the honor of officiating. And I'm a lay pastor at the church that I attend. They've allowed me to officiate, and I'm very grateful for that. You know, we're coming in for a landing. You got married, you had two boys, but then you were blessed with a daughter. Sloan came in.
Yep.
What was that like for you, inheriting a family and then connecting and birthing a new add-on to the family?
You know, it was a interesting time because I was in the middle of training. I had setbacks getting to the point where I was. And so there was so much focus on making it through and achieving what God had set out and started that it was kind of a whirlwind. Mm-hmm. But I want to say I'm grateful that it was a daughter, but my two boys stepped up. And they love her. Mm-hmm. And it further made our family whole.
Yeah.
And we've had some medical issues that we'll probably talk about in the next episode that was related to my daughter that my wife also experiences. Mm-hmm. But it's been a blessing throughout it all.
Well, I will say whirlwind is accurate. You know, out of the whirlwind, the Bible talks about that there can be noise and fury and all sorts of things. And right alongside of that, the Bible says that God speaks in the still small voice to each of us. And as we go into, we'll take a break and we'll do episode 2 of this podcast. We'll talk about that whirlwind of what it meant to be successful at being accepted into the Green Berets, and then the still small voice of the medical necessities that you had to face, and how you clearly kept walking with God, arm in arm with Christ Jesus, and never, ever looked at it as anything other than a warrior would look at it. And anybody who looks at a man or a woman of faith who is involved in the military service and says, that's a weakness. That's a weakness. You have to depend on them because you're weak, does not know what they're talking about. It is the essence of strength for anybody that's watching this, that's listening to this, is that if in your own life you feel somehow that you're living a lie, that you're looking as if you're strong, but the reality is you're weak inside, well, depend on God, depend on Christ, as any warrior, real true warrior would, because they're the closest to eternity at every step of their career. More later.